have noticed recently, we're now in a political season. Of course, then with today's society, when aren't we in a political season? But it's ramping up. It's really ramping up now because for Election Day, even though Election Day is months away, it's ramping up. And we see politicians and we see people are letting words fly. And there's fighting everywhere we look. In Facebook, on the news, both online and cable, TV shows, you know, wherever we look, it seems, there are words flying and people are fighting. And the closer we become to that, to the end time here on Earth and to the election season, I have to look at what's happening and say, boy, look what's dominating. Look what's dominating how people act, how they behave, what they're saying. It seems that the majority of people want to win over the political battle by bullying and fighting, mostly by words and not good words, but also sometimes in the extreme by physical force. Now, I'm not one to bring politics up to the beamer. That's not really what I do. I don't tell you how to vote. I don't bring people in to tell you how to vote. I believe that if you have morals and the Torah within you, you can make the right choice. So that's what I want to bring exclusively to the Beamer, morals and Torah. And then you'll be able to cast your ballot in a way that's going to please Adonai. And isn't that what we want to do? In all that we do, we want to please Adonai. So as I said, I don't want to talk specifics about politics, but I see that the way that the world is fighting in politics seems to find its way into how they speak about Adonai. How they want to spread the good news. By that, I mean that the way that people want to make people believe and act as they do is by forcing them to act and think that the way they do. Whether it's by coercion or making laws that force them to act the way they think is right. And I'm not saying that they're making bad laws. I'm not saying that, but they are trying to force people into following the ways that they believe are salvation. As an extreme example, and very extreme example, I'll grant you, is countries that are formed around Sharia laws or Muslim laws, right? They're based on their rules and regulations. They believe that they are right, but it leaves no room for those who do not agree with them. And not only that, they would drive them out, other people out of their country. Or they would kill them. And quite frankly, they're okay with either option. What I will talk about today is the way that we as believers and followers of Messiah Yeshua should act when trying to present and to get people to walk in the only way to atonement of sin and for salvation. We as believers have a very specific way that we know is the only way, and that is faith in Adonai as creator of all, Yeshua as the Messiah for all, and the Ruach HaKodesh, who is the helper for all who have faith. So the question is, can we and should we share the good news, the way to salvation, the way that we know is the only way to eternity before him, by force for their own good? Or should it be that the way that I believe it's taught in Scripture and the example we see in Scripture? What's the example that I believe is shown throughout Scripture from Genesis right through Revelation? Not force, but choice. If we present the truth, and show them the choice that they have to make, then we have to believe they'll make the right choice. This is what Joshua did when he was about to go into battle. And first, let me just say this about Joshua going into battle. He never went into battle to further the salvation plan of Adonai. He didn't go into battle saying, I'm going to conquer these people to bring them into salvation. He went in to get the land that Adonai said to take. It was never to take the people to bring them into salvation, to bring them into his belief, Adonai's belief. There's nothing in Scripture that says bring people in by force to Adonai for salvation. The battles were only to take possession of the land that he was giving them. But there is a part in Joshua that I want to look at because it does present how we are to present the living God to others. Joshua 24:14, starting there. Now, therefore, fear Adonai and worship him in sincerity and in truth. Get rid of the gods that your father had worshipped beyond the river and in Egypt, and worship Adonai. If it seems bad to you to worship Adonai, then choose for yourself today whom you will serve, whether the gods that your fathers worshipped that were beyond the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living. But as for me and my household, we will worship Adonai. Joshua says that you can have the gods. You can have the little g gods of Egypt. Or you can have the little g gods of the Amorites. But for him and his family, he's going with the capital G God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Now, prior to this speech that he's giving, Joshua makes Joshua tells of all the battles that they've gone through and had victory already through Adonai. Joshua points out the many that they've gone through, the many battles that they've gone through to get the land that was promised to them. Did you hear who he was speaking to, though? He said that they were to get rid of the idols and the small g gods that their fathers worshipped. This means that there were Israelites who were not fully following Adonai yet. And what did he do? He gave them the choice to follow or not. Here are the pros and here are the cons, he said to them. He says, now make a choice, knowing that for him and his family, there really was no choice. It's so clear cut. Follow the capital G God of Israel. This is what Adonai did also through Moses with the children of Israel, as we see in Deuteronomy 30. Moses is telling Israel their history. And when he was done, he gave them a choice by telling them the words of Adonai. Deuteronomy 30:15, starting there. See, I have set before you today life and good, death and evil. What I'm commanding you today is to love Adonai your God, to walk in his ways and keep his mitzvot, statutes, and ordinances. Then you will live and multiply, and Adonai your God will bless you in the land you are going in to possess. But if your heart turns away, and you do not listen, but are drawn away and bow down to other gods and worship them, I tell you today that you will certainly perish. You will not prolong your days on the land where you are about to cross over the Jordan to go in to possess. Moses uses the word command, and it seems by reading of the verses, it was an order to the people to follow Adonai's instructions. But if Adonai commanded, and if Moses ordered, then why would there be a need for those verses that followed? If a commander in an army gives an order, the soldiers follow the order. However, if it's a suggestion, then there's room for that second part of the suggestion, which states what will happen if they don't. If they follow, that's great. If you don't follow and you go another way, you're going to perish. That was what he told them. But Moses and Adonai are saying, if you don't, that means that the people are to make the choice that is before them, that they are not being forced into something. They are to make a choice, and then there are the consequences for their decision. Make the right choice, and it's good for both of you. Make the wrong choice, it'll be bad for them. But look what we're told in Ezekiel 3. Ezekiel 3 tells you what happens if you do tell someone or if you don't tell them. Ezekiel 3:18. When I said to the wicked, you will surely die, and you do not warn or speak them. This is the Lord speaking. You will surely die, and you did not warn or speak to warn the wicked of his wicked ways to save his life. That wicked person will die in his iniquity, but I will require his blood from your hand. Yet you, if you warn the wicked, and he does not turn from his wickedness or from his wicked ways, he will die in his iniquity, but you have delivered your soul. You cannot make the choice for them, but you must present the choice to them. We have to give them the pros and the cons. Then it's up to them to make the right choice. When Peter wrote to tell us what Adonai is like, he was giving us a reason to make the right choice. Excuse me. 2 Peter 3:9. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promises, as some consider slowness, that rather he is being patient towards you, not wanting anyone to perish, but for all to come to repentance. Peter knew that there was no reason to force the people to follow the instructions of Adonai. This is because there is something that we all must understand. Adonai is not looking to change the action of people. He wants to change the hearts of people so they will change their own actions. And Adonai will help us to change our ways by giving us the Ruach HaKodesh as both counselor and helper. Passing laws or forcing actions on people will not turn their hearts of our people in the right direction. Excuse me. Go ahead. Let me. You may like the new directions that they look like they're taking from the outside, but Adonai does not see the benefit from a changed action that comes from an unchanged heart. An unchanged heart will not speak the words that will please Adonai, even if they sound like the right words to the human ear. For Adonai does not just listen to words of the mouth, but even more to the heart of the speaker. This is what Rav Shaul, the Apostle Paul, said to in many places, but today I'm going to look at Romans 10. Romans 10:9, Shaul says, for if you confess with your mouth that Yeshua is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. But with the heart it is believed for righteousness, and with the mouth it is confessed for salvation. For the scripture says, whoever trusts in him will not be put to shame. It actually takes both the mouth and the heart of the believer to profess Adonai. We need to trust Adonai in our heart, and we need to teach others to trust Adonai with their hearts. If we cause people to change their action by force of law, we may force them to act a certain way or to say certain things, but that will not bring atonement for them or further us any further along either. Even if forced to confess with their mouth about the atonement of Yeshua, that does not mean that their heart is right and it will not bring atonement. In fact, just the opposite will probably happen. Think about the communist countries around the world, and especially China, who want to push out any kind of faith. What's happened? Just the opposite happens. As you push, you know, people will want to push back. So in China, they're looking to push out religion. And what's happening? We're seeing a great outbreak of faith in Adonai in China. Because you can't force people to believe or not believe, regardless if it's a political or religious belief. It was true at the time that men were living out the Tanakh and the Brit Hadashah, the Old Covenant and the New Covenant, and it's still true today. This is why Yeshua, when giving instructions on how to go out, said this way to his disciples in Matthew 28. And Yeshua came to them and spoke to them, saying, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, immersing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Ruach HaKodesh, teaching them to observe all I've commanded you. And remember, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." Yeshua did not say to go out and conquer, taking captives so they become followers of mine. This is what a general in an army of men do, but not what the leader of the army of heaven did. "Speak to them the truth with the convincing words that I have given you," he said. "And once they see the truth, they will not follow you, but they will follow me," Adonai said. You can force people to change their outward public actions and appearances, but that does not make them believers. Laws change people's outward public actions and appearances, but does not make them believers. In the recent past, you know, for many of our lives, you know, for those who are over a certain age, you might remember what was called the Blue Laws. They closed businesses down on what they thought was the Sabbath, their Sunday. And no one could go shopping because that was the Lord's Day. They thought it would bring people closer to Adonai, but it never did. We never hear a story of someone getting closer to Adonai because they couldn't go shopping. It does not work in the flesh or the spirit that way. Shaul wrote to the Thessalonians about how he came to them to show them the truth and to win them over to Adonai. And he said this to them and to us, even as my voice is getting froggy. Sorry. This is what Shaul wrote to the Thessalonians in 1 Thessalonians 2:5. As you know, and God is witness, we never came with a word of flattery or a motive of greed or seeking glory from people, whether from you or from others, even though we could have thrown our weight around as emissaries of Messiah. Rather, we proved to be infants among you, like a nursing mother cherishes her child. In this way, we were yearning for you. We were delighted to share with you not only the good news of our God, but also our very souls, because you have become dear to us. He said he could have thrown his political weight around. He could have thrown his religious weight around. But that is not what he did to win them over. He says that he was like an infant or a nursing mother. Other versions say that they were gentle and that they were just like a nursing mother who cherishes her own child. Shaul wrote a similar message to the Corinthians about how he came and spoke to them. 1 Corinthians 2:1. When I came to you, brothers and sisters, I did not come with excellence of speech or wisdom, proclaiming to you the mystery of God. For I decided not to know about anything among you except Yeshua the Messiah and him crucified. I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. My speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words or wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, so that your faith would not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Now, did Shaul, the Apostle Paul, actually feel weakness and fear that made him tremble before them when speaking before them? And did he not use words of wisdom when talking to them? I think that based on the writings, I find that really hard to believe. I don't think that's really Paul. Now, it could be, you know, there are many speakers who say they get very nervous before speaking. And maybe Shaul was one of those. Did he come not depending on his own strength? Absolutely. Did he depend on the Ruach for the power of God? Absolutely. Everyone wants to be like Yeshua and the disciples. And we should remember that we are not part of a military army. We're part of an army of Adonai's. Adonai's army does not kill. For that's the job of the one who comes to kill, steal, and destroy. That's Satan. There have been times in history of man that they've gone out to fight for their religion, doing some really awful things, thinking they were bringing salvation to people and glory to Adonai. But the truth is, they were fighting for religion, not for Adonai, and not for their own relationship with him. And it's also true that we're not able to battle for the relationship of others, the relationship that they should have with Adonai. Each person must do that himself. The kingdom that Adonai declares is not a kingdom like the one on earth. That's what he says in John 18:36. Yeshua answered, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then my servants would be fighting so that I wouldn't be handed over to the Judean leaders. But as it is, my kingdom is not from here." Yeshua says that he does not have an army to fight for him because this isn't his place. That he will be ruled, that he's going to rule and reign. He did not see the need to have an army either before or after he died and was resurrected. There was no need because he didn't see the need to force people to believe in him. He was, he is, he always will be king of those who believe in him. And the difficult part of this is that he is the creator of all and he wants to save all, but not all will be part of his kingdom. And that's by their choosing. It's the wrong choice, but it's their choosing. I was speaking to a young girl recently who was just starting to grasp the nature of heaven and hell. And she asked about the one she loved who didn't know Yeshua as their savior. She was struggling with the thought of them in hell. All I could say is this is why we present the gospel message many times and in different ways until they understand it as well. Dr. Brown, you might have seen Dr. Michael Brown posted on Facebook recently. We're fighting our war with different weapons and from a different perspective. Our ultimate battle is a spiritual one, not a physical one. We won't win by protest, force, or intimidation, but by giving our lives to change others through the gospel of Jesus and biblical values. God has a better way. The thing to remember is that we cannot and are not called to force our beliefs on others, but we are called on and must tell others of the love and mercy of Adonai. That by the blood of Yeshua, all men are atoned for, and it is the only way to an eternity with God, which is also called heaven. Forced by sword or law will only force a fleshly change and not a heart change as Adonai desires in men. Speaking to others is not forcing our belief onto them. It is expressing an opinion that we know is true and profitable for all men. This is what Adonai asks of us in Micah 6, I believe. Micah 6:8, and he told you, humanity, what is good and what Adonai is seeking for you, only to practice justice, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. Where's my final slide? I have no final slide. Okay. No, that's okay. I want you to take notice that there were three things there that were to do. They were practice justice, love mercy, walk humbly. I also want you to notice that they're not physical actions. Yes, physical actions may come out of them. For example, loving mercy means helping others. Practicing justice means that our actions are just and our actions express that we live a life with honor and truth and to be fair towards Adonai and to other people in our lives, regardless of how long they're in our life for, whether it be a long time or a short time. It's to live with integrity. Humility is to place Adonai above yourself and also to place others before yourself. They are all of the heart and not of the flesh. They all need to be a choice freely made and cannot really be forced upon people. Not forcing our faith upon others is not the same as not speaking to them. And yet sometimes forcibly. In fact, just the opposite. We are called to go out to the world and give them the truth about what this life is and what eternity is. Our sharing our faith in Messiah Yeshua is not forcing our faith upon them, but giving them the information that they need to make the right choice on their own. So if someone says to you, "Don't force your religion on me," I want you to say to them, "I'm not forcing my religion upon you. I'm giving you the information to make the right choice. And then it's up to you to make the choice." And let them know that it's because our sharing is our caring for them. That's the way we show love, by showing them the truth. Father, we thank you that you've shown us the truth, that you have given us the choice to make, whether to follow your commandments, your Torah, your instructions, whether to follow your Messiah, the Messiah, Yeshua, or to follow the world and its ways. And we thank you that you've helped us to see the truth and to make the right choice. Now, Ruach HaKodesh, help us to help others see the truth. Help us to speak to people, giving them the pros and the cons. Many people don't like to speak about hell, but that's the con of not following you, Rav and I. Yeah, we love to speak about heaven, but if they know both, if they only know about heaven, well, what's so bad about the other? We have to let them know what's so bad about the other. We have to let them know that the other is an eternity that's separated from our God, an eternity that is described as a burning fire, an eternity that's described as a worm eating the flesh, an eternity that never ends. But the alternative is an eternity that never ends before the throne of Adonai, with no pain, with no tears, with the love and the mercy of Adonai showering down upon them for all eternity. This is the decision that they need to make, and this is the information that they need to have. And it's all within your words, Adonai. That's why Torah and scriptures are so wonderful. It gives us the information to make the right decision. It gives us information to give to others so they can make the right decision. So Ruach, give us anointed appointments with others who do not yet know you. And give us words to speak and boldness to go forth, speaking your words so that others would know you for all eternity and be before you for all eternity. We just thank you and praise you. And everyone says, amen and amen.